/store.
Real people, real radio.
Initiating the truth frequency.
This is Truth Frequency Radio.
Hello, 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 ladies and gentlemen. Thank you guys so much for tuning in once again. Wow. Yeah, I'm totally out of it right now. I have to be perfectly honest. I am completely overwhelmed today, and I'm going to get into that in just a second. My name's JD. We are live right now. This is, of course, the Red Pill Reports radio broadcast on your very favorite network for truth and alternative information, Truth Frequency Radio. You can find us at truthfrequencyradio.com, also at redpillreports.com, and also on the dial at 90.7 in beautiful Denver, Colorado. Today is Wednesday, ladies and gentlemen, and it is the 29th day of April. I absolutely cannot believe just how quickly the months are going by right now. Again, completely overwhelmed this morning, ladies and gentlemen, and I have to stop. Many of you guys know that yesterday we started a crowdfunding initiative to try and get some funding for the radio show to try and make sure that we are still on the air for you guys every day. And I just have to be perfectly honest, ladies and gentlemen, in a word, overwhelming. The response has been absolutely overwhelming. And another word I would use would be humbling. I was up until almost midnight last night, guys, sending out thank you notes. And I have to be perfectly honest, I've never done this before. I'm completely in no man's land here right now, trying to figure out what to do. And although I did thank everybody who has made a contribution individually so far, I totally spaced on asking them if they wanted me to thank them on the air. So right now, I'm going to kind of hold off on thanking people for their donations yesterday by name, just because I don't want to embarrass anybody. But I have to be perfectly honest, guys. We set a pretty lofty goal yesterday, and I didn't really clarify. We were trying to make maybe, I don't know, try and hit like a 10 or 20% of that goal by about Friday to continue producing these shows. And the bottom line here, ladies and gentlemen, is that the response has been overwhelming, and I can absolutely assure you that we are going to be here for a pretty long time right now. We have probably reached about 15% of our goal right now in one day, ladies and gentlemen. I'm just absolutely overwhelmed. It was because of a couple of really significant, large contributions from some of our very favorite listeners out there. And I cannot thank you guys enough. I mean, I was almost in tears last night trying to get my head around some of the responses that I was getting from people out there. I have to tell you, I don't want to mention anybody specifically by name right off the bat here. But I did get one email last night that, I mean, I got several emails last night that absolutely moved me. And they really showcase the fact that the listeners, do want us on the air and are speaking out. You know, many leaves is what's going to build this tree. And once we build this tree, we can build a forest of freedom here. And that's kind of the goal. But it does take every single leaf's contribution to the forest to make all of this float. But I did get a donation yesterday. It was $30, which is absolutely crazy to me because the last time I had $30 to spare for something like this, I can't even remember. But it was from a woman, ladies and gentlemen. She's been a listener for 2 days. She said she heard about us from the 9/11 lady, which I can only assume means Rebecca Roth, who incidentally, I believe, is trying to get her own radio show together. And perhaps the 9/11 lady would be a good title for her radio show. I'm really excited about that. And I'm hoping she's trying to develop that here at Truth Frequency, but I haven't gotten back with her to find out what's going on there. But honestly, ladies and gentlemen, a listener of just 2 days stepping up with a donation like that is just absolutely astounding to me. Absolutely astounding. And it really has reinvigorated me. It really makes me want to ask you guys, not only what you like about the show, but what you don't like about the show. What do you guys want? You know, what can we do to make this better? What could we do to continue moving forward and to continue to provide you guys the best information and truth that we can? If you guys have ideas, we definitely want that, you know, you want you to email those to us if you can, or hit us up in the chat room. Lots of people in the chat room right now, both. Our guest today, I'm so excited about. Again, another reason I hardly slept last night is because the one and only Nano Girl is going to be on the program with us today here in about an hour. I'm sure there are tons of you guys who are stupid excited to be getting to hear her again. She's honestly my very favorite contributor to the Kev Baker Show, and I know she's listening right now, and I'll probably tell her this again when she comes on the air. But against the backdrop of the one and only Kevin Baker and of Marty and Johnny Whistles, that's saying something, ladies and gentlemen, when I tell you that she is my favorite contributor to the Kev Baker Show. Absolutely astounded that she would take time out to come on to our program today, and we're going to talk about all things technological and probably get into some crazy stuff, I would imagine, because it is a Wednesday and I'm just really looking forward to this. But anyway, the response to the GoFundMe thing is really ramping up. I want to make sure you guys understand that myself and Jeff and Robert are absolutely humbled by your support. And our goal, again, if we can meet this goal, say in the next 20 days or so, we can absolutely fund this radio show until you guys are inundated with Christmas music again. And yes, it's going to be May this weekend, guys. We are really not that far away from Christmas music. So put that in your mind and think about it for just a second. But that's the goal. We're not here to go out and buy margarita makers and have parties and things like that. That's not what we're doing with this stuff. We do have actually some other ideas to expand the network and expand our show as well. And so some of the things that we're exploring right now is potentially trying to put up like a billboard campaign, perhaps maybe even doing here's something I thought about, and I'm sure the guys behind the scenes will probably get upset with me for suggesting this without talking to them first, but maybe like a group share activity where if you guys want to purchase a small micro FM transceiver, maybe we could split that cost with you somehow. If we could get donations from people into like a group fund and then say you guys want to start a small radio network in your community, you could purchase one of those small micro transceivers it's a transceiver, and maybe we could split that cost. I mean, we want to do something to give back to you guys. Our goal here is not to to take this stuff and run off to Vegas. So just bear that in mind. We do have a long ways to go, not as long as we did yesterday though. And so again, I'm just absolutely astounded with the support that we've been giving. And I'll probably, if you guys have made a contribution, I will reach back out to you later today and find out if it's okay that I mentioned your name and stuff on the air. I should have done that yesterday, but again, I'm a rookie here, so I don't know what's going on. But again, absolutely humbled. People are really telling me that they want the show to stay on the air. And if you're one of those people, guys, we definitely need your support right now. We want to get this funding done, and so we can stop talking about it. And then we'll be moving forward, and we'll have many, 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 many more shows of amazing, amazing things to bring to you. This week is going to be another amazing week. Just obviously, Nano Girl today is going to be exceptional. I'm beside myself with excitement about this. We've also got Brooks Agnew joining us tomorrow. He obviously has a show here on Truth Frequency as well. But man, what an interesting guy Brooks Agnew is. He is a doctor. He is also somebody who is really, really involved in the alternative energy field. He has a company that creates electronic cars, just absolutely amazing stuff. So we'll be talking to him on Thursday, and then Friday, really excited about this. Carl Lehrberger is going to be here, guys. Secrets of Ancient America. Archaeoastronomy. Boy, did I miss the boat. Nobody told me I could major in archaeoastronomy when I was in school, or I would have, that would have been at the top of my resume, guys. But anyway, the legacy of the Phoenicians, the Celts, and other forgotten explorers. This book is 370 pages long, guys. Full color pictures, just absolutely amazing. And, you know, I like this hidden history stuff, but I don't live in Egypt, so I don't get to go and look at the pyramids and things like that. But I have a shovel, and I live in Missouri, which is right in the middle of the country. And this book is really inspiring me to not look for Bigfoot so much, but to go out and dig for things and see if I can find elongated skulls. But absolutely excited to have this show happening on Friday. Really appreciate all of the support you guys are showing. Please do, if you haven't yet, check out the GoFundMe site. It is on redpillreports.com. We also have a P.O. box if you don't want to use your card. Anything you guys can do like that will absolutely keep us running, and we cannot thank you guys enough. I'm absolutely humbled by the response, and man, tell you what, just getting emails from people all over the world, phew, blows my mind, guys. Anyway, we got a lot of news to talk about today, so I'm going to cut this stuff short, and let's get on to the show. Again, anybody who has contributed, thank you very much from the bottom of my heart in all sincerity. Really, really do appreciate it. Okay, let's hop into the international news right now. There is still more fallout happening regarding this situation in Nepal. Obviously, this earthquake was absolutely devastating to the country there. And we talked a little bit with Alana Freeland yesterday. She has written that book, Chemtrails and the Full Spectrum Dominance of the World, I think is what it's called, but absolutely amazing book and an absolutely amazing researcher. And she was talking about the correlation perhaps between those secret NASA planes also having something to do with these earthquakes. And, you know, I don't know. I find it really interesting that people were there a week ago suggesting that this whole thing was going to go down. But we're not going to get into the speculation stuff. I try and stay away, you know, a little bit from the speculation in the morning because it takes a lot of time and I don't get you guys any of the headlines that you need to figure out what's going on in the world. So anyway, if you want the speculative idea of what's going on with that, I'm sure Kev Baker's show does a great job breaking that stuff down. And we'll probably end up talking about this on the Woo Crew this weekend. Anyway, okay, so death toll in Nepal right now could potentially reach 10,000. That is up from about 6,800 that we reported yesterday. So again, the death toll in according to the country's emergency operations center, and it also says more than 10,000 people have been injured. There are warnings that the full extent of this tragedy will not be known until the rescue teams have had an opportunity to reach these flattened villages in the remote areas. And I believe that we are obviously not out of out of the woods on this one yet. Healthcare workers are also starting to be starting to spread fear about a major health crisis that could unfold because there are a lot of survivors there who are living in open areas or overcrowded tents, and they do not have access to sanitation or clean water right now. So I would also suggest, while you guys are in a donation type mode, find an organization that's working in Nepal right now and send them some money, because obviously there is a lot of devastation that has happened there. If the death toll does reach 10,000, that would actually be higher than the 8,500 that were killed in the massive quake back in 1934, and that was a disaster up until this weekend. And our hearts and thoughts and prayers are obviously with all of the people in Nepal. I've got friends who have friends who are over there. I don't know anyone directly, but absolutely just scenes of devastation. And if you guys can do anything for them, I would suggest that as well. We got to talk about this situation that unfolded, and I want to apologize. Kev sent me this link right at the end of the show yesterday, and I didn't have an opportunity to vet it, and I kind of like to try and figure out exactly what's going on before I interrupt a guest to bring you guys breaking news. So I probably could have talked about this a little bit yesterday, but I wanted to get my mind around what actually happened. So yesterday, late in the morning, Iran's Revolutionary Guard actually seized control of a Marshall Islands flagged cargo vessel in the strategic Strait of Hormuz. This prompted the U.S. Navy to dispatch a destroyer to quote unquote monitor the situation. So the Iranian military ships actually fired across the bow of the Maersk Tigris, which is the when the captain initially refused a demand to head towards Iranian territory. And this is, again, according to U.S. government and cargo company officials. So Iran said it had ordered the ship to be impounded at the Gulf port of Bandar Abbas because of a commercial dispute. An Iranian court had ordered the ship's confiscation over alleged unpaid debts. And this is, of course, according to the Iran Ports and Maritime Organization. So this container ship had made a last stop at the Red Sea port of Jeddah on the Saudi Arabian coast and was sailing through the strait into the Gulf waters bound for the UAE. So it's unclear right now if that last port of call, again, the Red Sea port in Jeddah, was related to whether, you know, why the Iranians decided to take control of this container ship. And after hearing the distress call from the cargo vessel, again, the U.S. military did deploy a guided missile destroyer, the USS Farragut, and a P-3 surveillance aircraft to the area, again, ostensibly to monitor the situation. But U.S. officials say currently there is no imminent plans for a warship to seek to secure the vessel or secure the release of the vessel. And they are also saying, according to the Pentagon, that there were no Americans on board. Obviously, this incident is following declarations from President Barack Obama's administration that U.S. naval ships in the Gulf region would ensure freedom of navigation. So anyway, at about 900 GMT, at least five ships from Tehran's elite Revolutionary Guards ordered the Maersk Tigris, which had no Americans on board. And that's the second time in two paragraphs that this particular article coming from the Times of Israel has mentioned the fact that there were no Americans on board. Just pointing that out here. So the cargo ship's captain declined the demand of one of the Iranian vessels who were trying to get him stewarded over into Iranian water. And then they shot the warning shot across his bow. And, of course, that was at the point where he decided, man, maybe I'm going to go ahead and concede to these guys. So that's where we were at with that yesterday. Now, reports are coming out from Iran. And what else is interesting is they're actually coming out from Saudi Arabia as well. So we have two reports, one from Fars, which is the news agency in Iran, saying that there were, in fact, 34 American sailors on this ship. Again, Pentagon declining to acknowledge that. And also this other report saying the same thing from Arabia. I should probably say it like that. Al Arabiya, which is a Saudi coalition news organization. So if the Saudis also are saying that 34 Americans were believed to be on this ship, that's significant. But again, the Pentagon saying that that is not at all what is going on. Also needs to be pointed out that we do, as the United States, we have direct authority in terms of the Marshall Islands, which is what this ship was. They have these flags. This is how ships operate out in sea. They carry flags, and people can look at those flags and know what the port of call is for said boat. Marshall Islands are considered to be something of a flag of convenience. A lot of international shipping companies will use them to reduce operating costs and to also sidestep regulations. So the fact is that this particular cargo vessel was flying the Marshall Islands flag. If it is, in fact, on a Marshall Islands boat, which it really isn't because it's a private company that actually runs it. There's a couple of questions that come to mind. Is this a situation where potentially this boat is trying to move weapons into the Houthi rebels inside Iran? I don't know. Iran's obviously a little bit concerned about that. The other question we've got is the United States going to have to do anything about it? There is a 1986 accord that is standing currently between the United States and the island nation that has set the term for independence. And the Marshall Islands actually has no standing army. They actually declined to get involved directly with this particular situation because they said any involvement could potentially undercut the responsibility of the United States, and they don't want to step on anybody's toes. So again, we're kind of still waiting to see what's actually going to happen regarding this particular story. But that is all the information that I have for you guys right now regarding that. Is it real? Is it Memorex? I do not know. Was Iran in the right for trying to take over this ship? You know, if they're potentially, you know, we are right in the middle of a massive naval blockade that's going on around Yemen too. So there's a lot of things going on here right now. And it really does kind of put the United States in a very tight position because the United States obviously still right now embroiled with negotiations regarding Iran and their nuclear, espouses, what they're trying to accomplish with their nuclear program. And also at the same time, we're kind of tentatively trying to repair your shady arrangements that we've got with Israel right now. So there's just a lot of things going on here in this Iran situation, which is one of the reasons we're only trying to fund the radio show for 6 months at a time, because we could be at World War VII by the end of that 6 months, and who knows. So anyway, that's what's going on there in the Marshall Islands. If I get more information, I'll keep you guys up to date. Again, the warning shots being fired across the bow from Iran. Pretty crazy, really. And speaking of warning shots, Finland had fired warning shots at a suspected foreign submarine off the coast of Helsinki in the early hours of Tuesday morning yesterday. So this is obviously amid growing military tensions with neighboring Russia. And Carl Hägglund, who is Finland's defense minister, did not say whether or not Russia was actually involved with this, but the incident is sort of reminiscent of that little Swedish hunt for a foreign submarine in its waters last October that many still think were Russian. Anyway, Mr. Hägglund told Finnish media that the target has now likely left the area, adding that Finland has rarely had to use such warning charges in the past. It actually did launch some warning charges on a couple of different occasions, both two times on Monday and then once again Tuesday morning. The second sighting that happened that Tuesday morning, I guess a warning was given with light depth charges again at 3 o'clock in the morning. So no further sightings of whatever this vehicle was off the coast of Helsinki, and no details have been given about the what type of vehicle it was at that. So anyway, that's what's going on there. More global war coming down the pipe. Good times. Here's some more for you guys. Now, Egypt is getting ready apparently to launch an airstrike and a ground attack against ISIS in eastern Libya, according to Debka files. So they are quoting Debka files here, quoting military and intelligence sources. And the Obama administration, obviously, is reportedly opposed to the operation, although it does bear, you know, it needs to be noted, we did just ostensibly give them a lot of weapons not too long ago, and this is after we have talked extensively about how bad al-Sisi is, the Egyptian president. But anyway, the Debka file reports, it notes that the Obama administration is against this direct invasion of Libya by Egypt, but it also says that Obama would support Cairo taking action through local Libyan militias. So they would much rather, in terms of the United States, we would much rather just foment more unrest. We'd much rather have Egypt just fund, you know, these moderate rebels and just create more terror and chaos that's going on there right now. But Egyptian President al-Sisi, he was not convinced by the CIA Director John Brennan, who related Obama's position to him back in April. And President al-Sisi did, in fact, tell the CIA Director that he does not plan on keeping the Egyptian army in Libya. He's planning on pulling his troops out as soon as the jihadists are defeated. But he says ultimately he plans on handing the power back to the elected Libyan government. But ISIS presence in eastern Libya and Sinai poses an unacceptable threat to al-Sisi's country, is what al-Sisi is saying now. And ISIS apparently is beefing up its presence in eastern Libya right now with reinforcements from Syria and Iraq to counter Egypt's alleged planned assault here. So obviously Libya been engulfed in unrest since Muammar Gaddafi was overthrown and executed back in 2011 with the full support of the Obama administration. And right now various tribes, militias, and political groups are competing for power in Libya. So the country is essentially split in two right now between two warring factions. One is led by the elected government operating out of Tobruk, and the other by a militia operating in Tripoli. And Egypt, without the support of the United States, did launch airstrikes against ISIS targets in Libya after the jihadist groups beheaded 21 Egyptian Christians. We had that story just a few weeks ago. So again, there's probably going to be a war going down in Libya pretty soon. And it's going to be Egypt, apparently, running the charge now. Also, news coming out of Nigeria right now. Apparently, hundreds of bodies have been found in the northeastern town of Damasak after an apparent massacre by the militant group Boko Haram. Local sources told Agence France-Presse that the death toll actually exceeds 400, with bodies found in homes, streets, and a dried-up river. Troops from Chad and Niger retook the town from Boko Haram last month, discovering another mass grave containing about 100 bodies. So hopefully the situation in Nigeria will begin to get under control there. We did just have the election that took place a couple of weeks ago, so we'll see what happens there. Also on a global scale, the symbolic doomsday clock moved to 3 minutes before midnight on Thursday of last week because of the gathering dangers of climate change and nuclear proliferation, signaling the gravest threat to humanity since the throes of the Cold War. This is the closest the clock has come to midnight since 1984, when arms control negotiations stalled and virtually all channels of communication between the U.S. and the former Soviet Union closed down. The move came as scientists sounded a warning about climate change for the second time in 3 years. The last move of the clock's hand, which was from 6 to 5 minutes to midnight back in 2012, was also because of the alleged danger of this supposed climate change. And as the scientists noted on Thursday, 2014 was the hottest year in 130 years of systematic record keeping. Although it's been pretty cool here. I know that makes me a jerk, but it's been pretty nice here in Missouri. Just saying. But apparently 9 out of 10 hottest years on record have occurred since 2000. So the scientists are suggesting that the greater danger lie in the failure of leaders to recognize and act on climate change. But anyway, I don't know how you guys feel about climate change. I'm not really a fan. But again, scientists, you know, they know everything, so they can't possibly be wrong. Okay, let's move on to the United States right now. We've got some follow-up stories. Obviously, we've been following the situation in Baltimore, absolutely out of control last night. And, you know, one of the things I noticed yesterday was that there were a lot of peaceful protests that took place on Monday, a lot of them, and a lot of religious leaders in the community trying to do the right thing. Didn't see any of that on the news. The news really, really focused on pretty much the worst of the worst, and they didn't have a lot of trouble finding it because that's, you know, that apparently what was going on. But violence, in fact, did erupt for a second night in Baltimore overnight. Defiant rioters faced off with about 3,000 police officers who ended up firing tear gas and rubber bullets into the crowd to enforce the city's broken curfew. So Maryland Governor Larry Hogan deployed 2,000 National Guardsmen and 1,000 police officers to enforce a 10 p.m. to 5 a.m. curfew in Baltimore Tuesday night. That curfew ostensibly is supposed to be going on through the rest of the week. And a group of about 100 defiant protesters ended up remaining in the streets after the curfew when law enforcement officers began to march. However, most of the group dispersed when cops in riot gear started to shoot tear gas and firing rubber bullets into the crowd. And at a midnight press conference, the Baltimore Police Commissioner, Anthony Batts, said that there were 10 people arrested on Tuesday, 7 of those for violating the curfew. So Baltimore obviously has been at the center of these demonstrations since the 19th of April, when 25-year-old Freddie Gray died of a severed spine as he was in police custody. Gray was arrested on the 12th of April for carrying a switchblade, and he was hospitalized within an hour of being taken into custody. He ended up dying about a week later. The Department of Justice currently right now is still investigating whether Gray's fatal injuries were caused by the police. So again, with all of the violence and unrest we see in Baltimore right now, we have to bear in mind that the decision to indict these law enforcement officers has not come down yet. We still don't know what the ramifications of that decision are going to be, but I certainly think we know which way the wind will blow if that indictment does not come to pass. Also, just due to the ongoing riots and protests in the city of Baltimore, as a side note for you baseball fans out there, and this is weird to me, the Orioles-White Sox game, which is scheduled today, has actually been scheduled for earlier today. It's going to be played at about 2 o'clock, and it's going to be closed to the public. In addition, the Wednesday games against the Rays, which were originally scheduled to be played in Baltimore, have all been moved to Tampa Bay. So both Monday's and Tuesday's games against Chicago were postponed due to safety concerns in the downtown Baltimore area. Obviously, this whole city is currently under a state of emergency. But interesting that they're going to play a game today with nobody in the crowd. I wonder what that's going to be like. That just seems like that would be interesting to me. But that's where we're at with Baltimore right now. We've got to go to this 3-minute break, right, guys? I've got a little bit more national news. We have some science and tech, obviously some big economic stuff going on right now, and some health news to get to. And I'm going to get to it all today. We're going to bust through this, I promise. We'll be back also in about a half an hour with the one and only Anna Pearl. So make sure you guys stay tuned for that. 3-minute break, guys. We're going to be back after a flash. Stay right here.
Chris and Sheree Geo here, founders of Truth Frequency Radio. We just wanted to take a moment to thank all of you for making TFR the biggest and the best independent radio station out there.
When we first entered the alternative media scene in 2009, we were really taken aback by the amount of infighting, backbiting, fear-based reporting, and ego-driven personalities. That's when we knew we had to set ourselves apart and set a new standard in broadcasting. And thus, TFR was conceived as a listener-supported station with no corporate or outside influence and limited commercial interruptions.
You can support our efforts by signing up for a VIP membership at truthfrequencyradio.com/signup or by making a donation at truthfrequencyradio.com/donate.
For less than $4 a month, you can ensure that TFR continues broadcasting for years to come. Real people, real radio.
Wherever you are, make it TFR.
A sudden change in the wind. The day grows dark as ominous clouds move in and lightning begins to carve arcs in the sky. And you realize you are not prepared.
I'm telling you, take cover.
The number of intense storms is increasing exponentially in the U.S. Tornadoes, hurricanes, flooding, and droughts are happening with greater magnitude and frequency. If you are choosing to rely on the government to save you,
and no one's coming to help them,
you could be dead wrong. The first step towards self-reliance in the face of disaster is a visit to MyPatriotSupply.com. There you'll find the absolute best prices on storable foods, non-GMO seeds, emergency water filtration devices, and so much more. All orders over $49 qualify for free shipping in the lower 48. Visit us online or call 866-229-0927. That's 866-229-0927. And speak to one of our preparedness advisors today. Remember, before it's time to survive, it's time to prepare. MyPatriotSupply.com. Nutritious food is real body armor. It builds muscle, burns fat, improves digestion, and feeds the entire body the nutrients it needs. Did you know the U.S. government banned the hemp plant from growing in the United States and classified it as a Schedule 1 drug to hide it behind the marijuana plant? People have been confused about this plant for over 80 years, and many still don't know what hemp is. So now you know hemp is not marijuana, and marijuana is not hemp. They are different varieties of the same species. HempUSA.org wants the world to know these basic facts and to help people understand that hemp protein powder is the best-kept health secret you need to know about. Remember, hemp protein powder contains 53% protein, is gluten-free, anti-inflammatory, non-GMO, and is loaded with nutrients. Call 888-910-4367, 888-910-4367, and see what our powder, seeds, and oil can do for you. Only at HempUSA.org.
Exposing faux capitalism with Jason Earp.
Sundays on Truth Frequency Radio.
Welcome back to the program, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you guys so much for hanging out with us through that 3-minute break. I'm having so much fun today with all of you guys. I just have to tell you, it's so much fun being here with you guys, interacting in the chat room. I love the forum that Chris and Cherie have created here at Truth Frequency, giving us the opportunity to all be on the same page. And that's what I mean when I'm talking about this funding initiative. You know, everybody is a leaf in the same tree, guys. Nobody here is more special than anyone else. We're just here to continue doing what we're doing. And without your support, we can't do it. And really appreciate everybody who's chiming in and making their voices heard right now, letting us know that you guys want us to stay here. Just absolutely incredible. And somebody was asking me too if I was having a difficult time typing, because sometimes I can't seem to get my words out in the chat room. And I think I have a virus in my keyboard that makes me dyslexic, because I have to type everything like twice. I don't understand why. I'll type stuff and I'll look at it and I'm thinking, that's not at all what I said in my mind space, but that's what's apparently appearing on the keyboard. So I'm wondering if there's like a dyslexic vibe going on with my keyboard right now, because until I got this keyboard, I really didn't have dyslexia, but apparently that's what's going on right now. Okay, hopping back into the national news right now. There's a lot of big stuff going on here. After 2 years, or almost 2 years after this disclosure of the government's mass collection of America's phones records, Congress is now confronting the very fast approaching deadline to either continue the collection or to end it. So yesterday, a bipartisan group of lawmakers introduced a bill aimed at blocking the NSA from collecting the phone records of millions of Americans. And the effort is now being described by the sponsors as a balanced approach that would ensure the NSA maintains its ability to obtain the data that it needs, and also without infringing on Americans' rights to privacy. Who knows if this is actually going to happen? Congress failed to advance similar legislation last year, and some officials are saying the agency really shouldn't face any new constraints, especially in a time of deep concern about this whole Islamic State terrorism organization. I totally don't believe that at all. But anyway, we're talking about the particular portion of the Patriot Act, which is Section 215. It's supposed to expire on the 1st of June, so we are very close. That act was passed after September 11th, 2001. It's supposed to have given law enforcement and intelligence officials more tools to thwart terrorist threats. But it was also secretly authorized a sweeping collection of Americans' phone records. So this disclosure of the program in June 2013 did prompt a backlash and led to President Barack Obama to call for changes that would end the NSA's collection while at the same time preserving its access to the records of terrorist suspects. So anyway, lots of different bills going on right now. Mike Lee, who's a Republican from Utah, is one of the co-sponsors of the USA Freedom Act. That's the legislation that was introduced on Tuesday. We don't really know if that one's going to go forward or not. There's also another bill, which I think everybody should be supporting, which is the Surveillance State Repeal Act, and that would repeal the entire Patriot Act and all of its ancillary surveillance laws. But prospects for that one are probably pretty dim right now. It'll probably end up someplace in the middle. But again, the threat is still existent for all of our information to be continued to be sucked up by the NSA. So if you guys are in the habit of calling your legislators and telling them what you think, this might be a good opportunity to get on board with that. Also, if you're in Illinois, we got a pretty big situation that you guys need to be aware of. There's new legislation moving through the state of Illinois, and it's got parents pretty worried right now about leaving their teenagers at home. This is a bill, or this legislation, is known as the Abused and Neglected Child Reporting Act, which on its face, again, in the standard Orwellian style, sounds pretty good. This is what the act says. It says the Illinois Department of Children and Family Services shall, upon receiving reports made under this act, protect the health, safety, and best interests of the child in all situations where the child is vulnerable to child abuse or neglect. It will also offer protective services in order to prevent further harm to the child and to other children in the same environment or family, stabilize the home environment, and preserve family life whenever possible. Sounds great, right? On its surface. It's also known as the Parental Responsibility Law. This legislation will, in effect, make any parent subject to the scrutiny of their neighbor and also to the full jurisdiction of the law beyond that point where they leave any child under the age of 14 home alone. Doing so, that child may be put into protective services. There are 14 factors that determine whether a minor is in danger, including the age, and they're using that number, 14, right? And a number of minors left at the location as another indicator of whether or not this minor is in danger. But the 15th factor, not the first 14, but the 15th factor leaves this door wide open for unreasonable interference from law enforcement and other state agencies. This 15th factor is quoted as any factor that would endanger the health and safety of that particular minor, end quote. So it is not just limited to the neighbor reporting on parents. It also stipulates that the Department of Children and Family Services to seek cooperation and the involvement of all public and private agencies according to Section 7.1A of this Abused and Neglected Child Reporting Act. So according to that section of the ANCRA, which lists off a litany of approximately 70 different agencies that may be looking over a parent's shoulders, suspecting them of neglect or abuse. That includes people like dentists, acupuncturists, recreational or athletic program or facility personnel, as well as clergy members and physicians, all of whom required to disclose any information regarding the suspected abuse or neglect of a child. And again, I'm not going to stand here and say that there, you know, shouldn't be some sort of mechanism in place to protect children. Obviously, that's not a position I would ever take. But you can see how this law might be overstepping the bounds of governmental jurisdiction into the very nitty-gritty of people's personal lives. It's pretty vague in terms of language, and the widespread capability given to the Department of Children and Family Services through this law seems a little bit more draconian than wholesome. And yet again, the consolidation of the state into a more comprehensive and controlling entity does continue to rise, seeking to assuage the people, but instead puts them into a state of fear, suspicion, and divisiveness. And that's what's going on in Illinois right now. Again, ANCRA, if you guys are anti that bill, I would get on the horn and do something about it. Also, ran across a video yesterday. We've been talking a lot about the Jade Helm, and maybe it's relationship to these closed Walmarts, right? And so this nice young lady snuck into Brandon, Florida last night and was actually filming one of the Walmarts. And I found what she found to be fairly interesting. We've talked about some of these closed Walmarts having the sudden appearance in their parking lots of these massive shipping containers and quite a few of them. And this particular Walmart that she was at did, in fact, last week get a big shipment of shipping containers, and they were all set out in the parking lot. What was interesting is that they have now moved, ladies and gentlemen, and why they would put them all down in the parking lot and then decide to move them 30 or 40 feet, which is really what they did, is kind of interesting. What else is interesting is where they moved them to. They moved them to the back of the building, and they put them out in like barricade fashion. They basically used those shipping containers to wall in the back of the Walmart and to create another secured location that you cannot see into in the back of the Walmart. So don't tell me that these things are filled with products, because that's not how you arrange products to bring things into your store. So again, this video, you can find it at redpillreports.com under the show section today, where you can also find out all kinds of wonderful information about our very special guest who's going to be joining us in about 20 minutes, the one and only Nano Girl. Oh, I also see that Johnny Whistles has made it into the chat room this morning. So nice to have you along for the ride this morning, Johnny. Appreciate all of you guys in the chat room, as a matter of fact. So anyway, check out that video. Let me know what you guys think. If Walmart is up to something, I'll tell you, the more we look into the situation, the more I think Walmart is definitely up to something. Also, it's Wednesday, and wouldn't you know it, we have a Flocka update for you guys real quick. The woman that we talked about last week, who was charged with the conspiracy to import, possess, and distribute Flacca, is still in jail right now, and that's not really the name of the game in this story, but there is some ancillary information coming out now about where this drug is coming from. Apparently, it's all being shipped in from China. There's a bunch of labs in China that are just making this stuff, I guess, and they're shipping it in things like filtration units for above ground pools and stuff like that. And anyway, this lady, she's sitting behind bars because her boyfriend was running a pretty large network and she was ostensibly the accountant for this particular network, and not a good position to be in. But you know, it kind of stands to reason right now. We keep outlawing drugs and people are going to end up smoking the lint out of their teddy bears here pretty soon, because we're being inundated. You've got these people who are incredibly intelligent on the planet and you guys are basically forcing them to be slaves and not think clearly, and people need an escape. Drug use is never going to go away. We need to legalize the safe drugs so we don't have this market for these absolutely horrible ones. I don't have any other stories of terms of Flacca and what's going on. You know, nobody's biting anybody's faces off right now. But if it happens, I'll certainly get you guys in the loop on that. But again, we need to end this draconian drug war. If you take away all of the drugs, I don't know who said this, I think it was Bill Hicks. If you take away all the drugs, people are still going to go out in their front lawn and they're going to spin around until they fall down and see God. That's just the nature of human beings. You know, you have the right to explore your inner consciousness, ladies and gentlemen, and anybody who tells you otherwise is full of crap, and that's all I'm going to say about that. But again, because of this draconian drug war, now we're importing crap from China that we have no idea what it is or where it comes from, and people are smoking it and snorting it and going all crazy. Just crazy. We don't need this problem. We can eliminate the problem. Okay, moving on to the economy right now. Let's see. The Dow is currently down. Why they're calling it the U.S. 30 now, I still don't know. But we are down about 80 points in early trading, 18,030. S&P following suit down about 13 points at 2,098. The dollar index is still continuing to dive. We're down more than 1% today at 95.08. The euro is up following suit well above that mark, actually at 111.46. So perhaps the euro making a bit of a comeback. The Bitcoin, pretty flat this morning, 226.90. Check out the gold, down about $5, still above the $1,200 mark. We're at $1,208. Get you a big, bright, shiny bar of gold. Silver, $16.64. Also, your natural gas, crude oil up a little bit today, almost about 3%, actually, at $58.58 for a barrel of oil. So that's what's going on there right now. Greece is in the news, but we don't have any real current developments right now. But I want to give you guys a heads up. Holiday makers, if you're getting ready to go have a holiday in Greece right now, first of all, what are you thinking? Second of all, you are being advised by the fine people at the Greek Tourist Board in London to go ahead and take enough cash in euros and coins to get yourself back out of the country just in case something happens. There's obviously an escalating debt crisis. We don't know what's actually going on there right now. And in the event that the banks do have to shut off their cash machines and you're stuck there, you're going to want to have some cash with you right now. So just putting that out there, we're not going to get too much into this. But if you are going on vacation in Greece, might be a good time to think about having a backup plan while you go there. Also, an interesting little bit of information coming out of China right now, and I don't have a whole lot of details about it, but apparently there were more than 4 million new Chinese trading accounts opened just last week. Yeah. 4.3 million new stock trading accounts just opened this week. That's this week. That's not the month. That's not in total, guys. That's this week. What in the world is going on in China? People are getting ready really to hit the markets really broadly there. And again, we talked about the BRICS bank. We've talked about the fact that the gold regulation industry is moving its way towards China, and there probably will be a change in value of gold as that becomes more and more public. But again, more than 4 million brand new commodity traders signing up in China right now. That's pretty significant. Also pretty significant, Twitter had a very bad day yesterday. My goodness, its shares fell 5.6% after a company called Celerity Incorporated. They are a financial information provider. You guys are going to love this. They actually reported the social media's companies, Twitter is what we're talking about, their first quarter revenue. And the mobile users apparently missed the analysis, the estimates. They were saying they're going to have good numbers. They did not have good numbers. And Celerity apparently found these numbers on like a back screen in Twitter. It wasn't actually supposed to come out in public yet, but they found it on a Twitter page, so they went ahead and posted it. And so, ostensibly, the two co-owners of Twitter, they lost nearly $750 million in paper wealth yesterday. That's $750 million between the two co-founders, Evan Williams and Jack Dorsey, because they didn't have their back office locked down like it should have been. And so the retail or the commodity traders out there got information before Twitter wanted it to get out, and the prices of the stock just absolutely crumbled last night. I don't even know. I mean, obviously I don't have $750 million, but I couldn't imagine earning something like that and then losing it. So regardless, Twitter had a very bad day yesterday. They still think that they're going to be okay in the long run, but they're having a lot of trouble generating a lot of Nano in the chat saying, yeah, what's a billion here or a billion there? I'll tell you, yeah, $750 million. It's just a rounding error these days on some of these Federal Reserve sheets. You know what I mean? Like, that's just such a paltry amount of money. But if you put it into perspective that some person out there that has an ownership of that company actually lost it personally, that's a lot different than a bank losing it, in my opinion. Also, in the world of banks, Bank of America may have to put retail brokerage funds at risk. I'm sorry. Bank of America may in fact have put retail brokerage funds at risk in order to increase profits, and they broke apparently a 40-year-old rule according to the Wall Street Journal. So the Securities and Exchange Commission right now is investigating the bank amid claims that the financial giant broke these rules designed to safeguard the accounts of clients. Specifically, the Wall Street Journal alleges that the Bank of America may have run afoul of the provision from 1972 that requires investment banks and trading firms to have enough cash and securities set aside to easily repay customers in the event of a failure. And according to this report, the SEC is now investigating whether or not the bank conducted complex trades and loans with Merrill Lynch. Spoiler alert, they did. Merrill Lynch, obviously a financial firm that it acquired back in 2009, to save upwards of millions of dollars annually by freeing up resources that would have otherwise been off limits. And under this 1972 mandate, the bank would have been required to have enough assets on hand to repay the customers easily if a crisis had unfolded. We know that that's most likely not what would have happened should the crisis have unfolded. But anyway, the SEC has declined to comment for the Wall Street Journal, and a representative from the North Carolina-based Bank of America has denied any wrongdoing. But according to the journal, the alleged practice was retired by Bank of America in mid-2012 after internal debates concerning the potential risks. Obviously, a lot of them struggling on a daily basis with the ethics of what it is that they do to all of us. I mean, for all of us. Anyway, in the 3 years prior to that, sources who spoke with the newspaper claimed that the bank had moved billions with a B, as in, boy, that is a lot of money. Billions of dollars through trades, which should otherwise have been put aside for clients. So again, SEC thoroughly investigating the Bank of America. It's kind of like the old fox guarding the old hen house, isn't it? Okay, and then this is another little ancillary note here. The National Football League's central office will apparently become a taxable entity. They are ending their tax-exempt status in a move with minimal financial effect and significant symbolic value. So again, most of the money that the NFL actually makes is made by the teams. All the teams individually are, in fact, taxable. But this will be the first time that the NFL organization itself will be filing taxes. But really, this is symbolic, and it really has a lot more to do with the fact that Mr. Goodell, who is, you know, in charge of the National Football League, right now, because they're nonprofit, he has to disclose how much money he makes every single year. And I'll tell you what, if you're Goodell and you receive $35 million a year in salary and bonuses, kind of makes it hard to believe that you're part of a nonprofit. But anyway, what is going to change when they make this change is that they're no longer going to have to report the salaries of the individual people who work at the National Football League. So what they're gaining now is the ability to cover up their salary information, and in terms of taxability, probably not going to reach much more than, I think they said, about $110 million with an M over the next 10 years. So a paltry sum to pay to be able to obfuscate your earnings, which is apparently what they're trying to do right now. So that's what's going on in your economic news. Let's talk about a little science and tech stuff. I won't get too much into this because we do have the one and only Nano Girl, and I would hate to think that I knew more about anything technological than she does. This is kind of an interesting story, though. NASA, the one and only NASA, made a pretty bold claim that they are launching an initiative to find extraterrestrial life. This is the first time that NASA has come out and said, yes, we think there's probably life out there, and we're going to do it. So they are going to be using – they're doing this huge project right now. It's essentially integrating several different fields of science and a lot of different teams from universities across the country and across the world. They're trying to combine the efforts of earth scientists, planetary scientists, heliophysicists, which is another thing if I had known I could major in, I probably would have done that, and also astrophysicists. So ostensibly there are a lot of these probably six or seven different teams that are going to be doing individual different things, and the entire thing is going to be coordinated by Natalie Bethalla, who is NASA's Ames Research Center director. She again is going to be kind of supervising this big umbrella that is going to be potentially looking for life in outer space. But again, a lot of us out here probably realize that NASA is way ahead of the curve, and they probably already know quite a bit more about whether or not life exists than they are telling us. All that water, all that pesky water on Mars, man, I'll tell you, that seems pretty significant to me. Also, if you guys were listening to Kev's show yesterday, they talked a little bit about the successful DARPA test. The DARPA now successfully have live fired a test of their X-Acto smart bullets. They've got these bullets now that apparently can, you know, do pretty much all kinds of aerial acrobatics. They can dodge specific targets and hit a different target. Basically, the entire goal of it was to make even a novice shooter who would be using the system for the first time, given them the ability to hit a moving target with this guidance system. And it also takes the guidance systems into really, really small caliber weapons. And it's just, again, nanogirls hitting it right on the head, man. This is right out of sci-fi here. And obviously it's going to change the scope of warfare going forward into the future. Just crazy stuff. Also, speaking of changing the scope of warfare going into the future, BAE, which is a UK aerospace and defense firm, they apparently yesterday broke a battlefield speed record by applying Formula One racing suspension technology to its CV-90 combat vehicle, which they made for the Swedish Army. So the CV-90 has become the world's first armored vehicle to be equipped with the active dampening system, which works by sensing the speed the vehicle is going at and how the terrain ahead lies. Active dampening has been used in F1 racing cars since the 1990s and is now also used in high-end cars. But BAE adapted the system, again, typically used in carbon fiber racing cars that weigh no more than about 700 kilograms, to work on armored vehicles, which can weigh as much as 35 tons. And by pressurizing this suspension, the vehicle is consistently kept on a level plane, which enables it to go faster. And the trials of this technology have seen the CV-90 perform 40% faster than its predecessor, with a top speed of 43 miles per hour. Absolutely scary stuff. Just wait until these things are intelligently controlled, or ostensibly intelligently controlled by AI, and completely, you know, off the hook, and are running around at 43 miles an hour with now guided bullets. Great. I'm so excited to be part of this whole universe that we're in right now. Anyway, a little bit more science and tech stuff. There is a fantastic article at redpillreports.com that's called How You Can Hack a Military Drone. I wouldn't necessarily tell you guys how to do it, but this research study on drone vulnerabilities has been published in recent years, and it really does essentially provide a how-to guide for hacking unmanned aerial aircraft. And if you wanted to find it, not that I would recommend that you did it, if you were to look up, I don't know, on Google, Tippenhauer, Tippenhauer, it'd be the first result on Google. You could also look up UAV cyber attacks, and that'd be the third one on the list, or UAV GPS spoofing attacks. So again, the GPS spoofing attack is basically what's going on. A lot of people think that's probably how Iran was able to land one of the CIA's stealth drones a couple of years ago, because that actually happened only a couple weeks after this particular report, which again, you can find on the internet, has come out. But perhaps you're out there thinking about, you know, creative ways to intercept Amazon. I don't know. I would never, ever encourage anybody to do anything like that without emailing me first. Okay, moving on to the health news right now. New bird flu cases possible in Iowa. Millions of birds being affected. These initial tests have found probable avian influenza outbreaks at 5 new commercial poultry sites in Iowa. This affects more than 6 million birds, and the state's agricultural department and the U.S. Department of Agriculture said this on Monday this week. So additional tests right now are pending to confirm the highly pathogenic H5N2 that is rapidly spreading, according to agency officials. Positive results would push the outbreak's national tally to more than 15.1 million birds affected from commercial flock states. Affected from commercial flocks in 13 different states. An avian influenza outbreak in 1983 and 1984 in the Northeast, which was the largest in U.S. recorded history, about 17 million birds were culled. So you can see, if we get positive results coming out of Iowa, we are right on the cusp of another or if not the largest outbreak of avian influenza here in the United States. So when the Iowa Secretary of Agriculture says this is a big deal, I think that's probably pretty accurate. And Iowa state officials have also quarantined these five farms. The positive results would mean that more than 9.5 million birds in Iowa alone are affected by the virus. Iowa farms on average house an estimated 60 million egg-laying hens, according to the Iowa Secretary of Agriculture. So on Monday, U.S. Department of Agriculture did confirm that Wisconsin egg-laying chicken farm with more than a million birds had also tested positive for the virus. More than 1.9 million commercial production chickens and turkeys in Wisconsin have also been affected by the H5N2, according to state and federal officials. The potential economic outbreak is pretty unclear at this point. Hormel Foods, based in Minnesota, said last week that the avian influenza may in fact drag its fiscal earnings towards the lower end of the forecast. And more than a dozen of the poultry suppliers for Hormel's Jennie-O Turkey Store, they have all been hit by this particular outbreak. And Minnesota is right now the largest turkey producing state in the country. So again, lots of things going on in the avian flu realm. I have to tell you about this story too. Wow. A new study from Denmark, man, I wish I'd left more time, has shown that everyday chemicals such as those contained in pizza boxes and other food packaging could increase the risk of spontaneous miscarriage by 16 times, guys. Of the 392 women participating in this study, 56 miscarried, and scientists discovered that those who suffered miscarriages had elevated levels of endocrine-disrupting polyfluorinated acylated substances, or PFASs, in their system. The study was carried out at the University of Southern Denmark and the Child's Health Project of Odense Child Cohort. So the PFAS are substances that make products water and grease resistant. They can be found in various products like pizza boxes or other food packaging, furniture, and also sports clothing. So it is packaging that we use for food that is treated with the fluorinated substances because it needs to be resistant to water and grease. Again, wax paper, pizza boxes, popcorn bags. The problem is that these things build up in your body and they never really leave again. And these chemicals are not often listed as ingredients because, well, they're not ingredients. They're part of the packaging. And they're also part of the clothing that you guys might be wearing. A lot of running clothes are impregnated with this stuff. So anyway, very, very serious situation. Pizza boxes, guys. Who would have thought that that could have been something 16 times the increase in miscarriages? Absolutely unbelievable. A little bit more health news I couldn't get to today. If you guys go over to redpillreports.com, you will be able to find it. But we are going to go to the 3-minute break, and when we come back, we will have the one and only Nano Girl here, ladies and gentlemen. So excited. Keep it right here, guys. We'll be back in this 3 minutes.
Chris and Sheree Geo here, founders of Truth Frequency Radio. We just wanted to take a moment to thank all of you for making TFR the biggest and the best independent radio station out there.
When we first entered the alternative media scene in 2009, we were really taken aback by the amount of infighting, backbiting, fear-based reporting, and ego-driven personalities. That's when we knew we had to set ourselves apart and set a new standard in broadcasting. And thus, TFR was conceived as a listener-supported station with no corporate or outside influence and limited commercial interruptions.
You can support our efforts by signing up for a VIP membership at truthfrequencyradio.com/signup or by making a donation at truthfrequencyradio.com/donate.
For less than $4 a month, you can ensure that TFR continues broadcasting for years to come. Real people, real radio.
Wherever you are, make it TFR.
We are submersed in a construct that was designed to break us and keep us broken. But it hasn't. It failed. We still go on because we were designed from an eternal template of infinite creativity and not a synthetic house of cards built on pride and false power. Breaking free from the programs and paradigms that hold us down takes courage, endurance, tenacity, and trust. The reason it is so hard is because to be a free and sovereign being, we have to smash every lie, even if it hurts. It is good to be reminded of how resilient, unbreakable, magnificent, and powerful we truly are. And if anything provides a foundation for that, it is the book, Our Universal Journey. Go to ouruniversaljourney.com.au.
Judith Baker was once a promising science student who dreamed of finding a cure for cancer. This exposé is an account of how she strayed from a path of mainstream scholarship to a life of espionage in New Orleans with Lee Harvey Oswald. In her narrative, she offers extensive documentation on how she came to be a cancer expert and what led to her involvement in the development of a biological weapon that Oswald was to smuggle into Cuba to eliminate Fidel Castro. Details on what she knew of Kennedy's impending assassination and her belief that Oswald was a deep cover intelligence agent who was framed for an assassination he was actually trying to prevent are also revealed. Me and Lee by Judith Baker. Special JFK 50th Anniversary Signed Limited Edition. $30 including shipping. Limited number of these available. Order your copy today at federaljack.com/store.
No hate. No hype. No fear. We are TFFR. Frequency Radio.
Welcome back to the broadcast. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you guys so much for hanging out with us through that 3-minute break. We're moving into the second hour of the program today, and I couldn't even sleep last night. I was so excited about the guests that we're having. I gotta take a quick segue here and just let you know that Tom Keeley is gonna be on the Kev Baker show tonight. And he is of the In World Report. They're going to be talking about alternative media versus mainstream and also getting into the Jade Helm and the NWO in general. I would highly recommend you guys take some time out this afternoon to check out the absolutely amazing Kev Baker show. Those guys work so hard over there to bring you guys amazing information every day, and I really want to make sure you guys are tuning into that, as well as all the other fantastic programs here on Truth Frequency. Make sure you're supporting the hosts, too. Everybody here is listener-powered, and we all appreciate any type of help that we can get. Anyway, getting back on track with today's show, I am extremely excited to be welcoming the one and only Nano Girl to the program. She is my very favorite contributor on the Kev Baker program, which is where I first learned about her and have been absolutely glued to all of her programs since then. But she's also known in some circles as Sharon Barrington. She has worked the gamut of Fortune 500 companies. She is a very technologically advanced person. She's worked for clients like Apple, VeriSign, Silicon Graphics, and Miasol, just to name a few. She specializes really in research and development and product development. She also helps bring new and innovative products to the market while resolving difficult cross-organizational issues. She's a very articulate and intelligent individual, and I'm extremely excited to be welcoming her to the program today. Nano Girl, thank you so much for taking some time out of your schedule to be with us on the Red Pill Reports radio broadcast today.
Oh my God, JD, you're one of my favorite people. I have you on low in my job every morning because you keep me. I have a funny job. It's in a retreat center. So you can visualize, here's this peaceful place and I've got your show in the background, you know, and you're keeping me, glued in the morning to all of the wonderful updates. So thank you so much for having me on your show. So,
mutual. I gotta tell you, I'm very susceptible to flattery, so we're just gonna have to stop it right there. I do, though, remind me after the program, I have a product that I would like to try and get to market that I think maybe you might be interested in also. So just remind me later on and we'll get into that. Ladies and gentlemen, you know, one thing that you guys may know about me is that I'm a total bobblehead for technology. I love technology. I think that, maybe it's because I'm lazy. I don't know. But I think technology is awesome. I think that there is obviously the situation where there's a bunch of ding-dongs out here that have a bunch of toys that they got from God only knows where, and they're going to try and do God only knows what with. But I don't want to start off the show by stigmatizing technology itself. And I'm pretty sure that Nano Girl agrees with me in that respect. But Nano, one of the things that I wanted to kind of start with today, just to kind of put into perspective for people why technology can be good and why we should always try and remember that technology is only really, you know, it's just what it is. It's only one thing, and it can be used for good or evil. And the example that I wanted to talk about today was speed cameras. Okay, you see what just happened there? 100,000 people listening to the show all cringed right at the same time. Speed cameras. Oh my God, what in the world could JD possibly have to say that was positive about speed cameras? Well, I'm glad that you asked that. There is a place in Denmark, this little tiny village, and, Nano, they have got about 10 speed cameras up, okay? And they work just like you would expect. If you're driving too fast through the area, they take a picture of your license plate and they send you a ticket or a fine and you have to pay it. But, they also work in a different respect. Speed cameras, they check your speed, right? So in Denmark, if you're, say, driving through this area and one of the speed cameras notices that you're driving well, you're driving serene, you're driving peacefully, they enter you into a lottery. And every single month, a large pool of all the other ticketed people, you have the opportunity to win all that money. So now we're incentivizing good behavior. And to me, that's the perfect example of how technology could actually be used to make the world better, as opposed to just using it in some sort of draconian fashion, which is what we seem to see around us all the time. What do you think about that, Nano?
Well, I think I would vote for it as long as there wasn't the ticket side of it. So
right.
In other words, if you were just put me in the lotto where I get to win a prize and I didn't have a ticket, I would be really happy. But the whole ticket thing makes me absolutely crazy. But I agree, JD, I agree with you. I mean, the good technology thing that comes to mind is when Robert Downey Jr. gave that young man a bionic arm, a real bionic arm. I think it was like a month ago.
Yes.
And it was so touching. Or when you look, I don't know, I love looking at people YouTube sometimes. Mm-hmm. When you see people hear for the very first time, I mean, they all cry. Every single one of them cries.
Yes.
Oh my God. And that is what technology is for.
I totally agree.
You know, and that's where I might sit down with Ray Kurzweil and say, okay, Ray, you're right. In this case, these guys are adding some technology to their ears, and I don't know, you know, how intricate it is, or if they do an operation or anything, or when people can see for the first time.
Right.
Or, you know, that kind of stuff. Or I think one of the most moving things was to watch the woman on Tech Talk who actually got to stand up with that exoskeleton because she has a spinal injury.
Right.
And she can walk. And that's the kind of stuff you think, oh wow, this is amazing. This is absolutely amazing.
Well, it is, and there's so much room for it right now. You know, one of the things I'd really like to do, I don't know if anybody wants to help me do it, but I would like to start some sort of foundation that brings together the absolute wonderful stuff that you're talking about with this, the involvement or the evolvement of the 3D printing technology. I would love to start a foundation that combines inexpensive 3D prosthetics with children in war-torn areas, places that we have gone in as an imperialistic nation and destroyed. I would love to be able to have the money or have a foundation that could go back and address some of those issues now. And I really believe that the 3D technology, the 3D printing thing is absolutely the way of the future. And because of that, we're going to be able to do things like this.
Oh, absolutely. And in fact, there was a couple of guys that developed shoes for people in third world countries that will last 5 years. They have all these buckles and snaps, mm-hmm. and that these shoes will last 5 years because they grow. You can grow them with, or you can stretch them out, and mm-hmm. they'll actually last 5 years. Yeah. Is that amazing? And add a material that will actually last 5 years.
Which is almost unheard of these days, you know? I don't think I've ever had a pair of shoes in the last 10 years last me 5 years. I mean,
that's something you walk with every day.
Right.
I wanted to kind of go back, you know, thank you again for the awesome introduction. I wanted to give the listeners a little piece of my history too.
Please do, yes.
That I don't always kind of go into in depth on. So going back after 9/11, I actually took some off from working. I think I was off a couple of years, and I decide, and I love, as with you, I love tech. I love tech. And I happened to join the Foresight Institute, which is, at the time, was focused on nanotechnology. And the whole goal of Foresight is to promote ethical development so that the nanobots wouldn't get loose, right? And
right.
This was Eric Drexler's dream, was to put something together so the scientists didn't go off the rails. And the other thing I joined was the Futurist Group. And that's where I got to know all these names, like Ray Kurzweil, Aubrey de Grey, Eric Drexler. Eric would do a speech every year, and as a member, you get to go to these conferences, and you meet all these people. And that's how I kind of got to realize what they were doing, who they were, and where this conflict has come about, and where we are kind of as a nation,
right,
and, or world. And so the bottom line was, after about 2 or 3 years of attending some of these meetings, and I have to share one with you, it was totally funny. So we would go to these monthly talks by the Stanford guys. You know, these guys get all these money to, you know, to develop chips or to develop processes or whatever. So one guy, his speech was a happy chip. Seriously, it was a happy chip. You put it in your head.
What?
And yeah, it was a happy chip. And it would help you cure things like depression and alcoholism. You would no longer be an alcoholic because the happy chip would moderate, keep you from going down the drunkalog road. So this was towards the time where I was actually getting ready to quit, which I don't think I realized it at the time, but this was one of the last talks I went to. And no one ever brings up the soul or the connection or what makes you human.
Right.
And I kept thinking about F. Scott Fitzgerald and some of these amazing writers that were alcoholics. And would we have had the amazing books and things that we have from all these people that have suffered? And put those words on paper. There's a reason beings go through the things we go through. It's
That's
called
right.
growth. Mm-hmm. So anyway, I go, I wait for the talk to be over, and I'm just quivering with, I'm so mad and frustrated. It's like, are you kidding me? You know?
Mm-hmm.
And so I go up to this guy and I said, I don't want a happy chip. What is wrong with just being a regular person? I don't want to be happy every single day.
Right.
And, you know, the bottom line is, I know the comment he gave back to me is, yeah, I hear from you people all the time. So let's qualify us people. One of the other things going on during these couple of years is the people of religion or spirituality people, whatever you would like to call them, were trying to meet the technology futurist people halfway and have a discussion about, can we have a vote? Can you, when you guys are developing all these things, do you consider about how other people feel about this technology?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and like you said, a different way to use it. And the bottom line at that point in time was no. And the last conference I went to, I was telling Kev yesterday actually that Ray Kurzweil was supposed to give a speech, via hologram.
What?
And this, I know, it's amazing. I was just so much amazing stuff went on at some of these conferences. But the ironic thing about this particular conference is the technology didn't work. The cell phones weren't working, the hologram wasn't working. They had to use a microphone and hold it. I mean, it was hilarious.
Right?
Yes. But after the 3 days, I remember making friends with this guy who was a lot like you and I and the people in the chat. And he said something so profound. He said, I don't want to live in a world these guys are creating. There's no room for me.
Ditto.
Yeah, exactly. And so when people talk about them being, seeing themselves as gods or anything like that, I really don't think that's the issue. I think the issue is they are technologists. And they love tech like we do,
mm-hmm.
but I don't think they see outside their box. It's like, if we can do this, we're going to do this, and we're going to do this for this reason. And they don't think about incorporating all of society. I think they expect us to kind of fall in line.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the big issue is we need to hijack it back, like you said.
Yes.
You know? That's where we are, really, is it's our turn to hijack it back. And I think in some ways we've done a great job. Look at Facebook.
I was just going to say, Facebook is a great example. I mean, taking their system and turning it against them, although they obviously control the flow of media once you hit your send button or your post button, they do keep a pretty good tight reins on who actually sees what it is that we're all posting. But I agree, taking a social media platform like that and turning it on its head is the answer to this equation.
And what we're doing this morning.
That's right.
We're hijacking them. We're saying, you know what? Thank you. You guys are doing a great job, but we are going to make sure we're incorporated. And we're going to go back to that third world country, and we're going to fix and repair the things that we broke because we're accountable. And I so agree with you on that. In other words, if you're from the USA, if I as a technologist and I've contributed to the NSA working at Silicon Graphics, don't I owe some debt on some level? I think I do. You know, they used those Silicon Graphic machines at the time. We knew where they were going.
Right.
They were going to the NSA. And that was another funny conversation of sitting around. I remember one time. So we're sitting at Silicon Graphics working on a project, and I said, there's like 10 of us in the room. I said, does anybody here feel guilty that these machines are going to the NSA? And the response I got was hilarious. The guy goes, well, look at it this way. Do you pay taxes? And I said, yes. He goes, just look at his recycled money. I said, I'm not sure that gets us off the hook, but okay.
No, I think that's a stretch.
I was quite a stretch.
Right.
But, you know, I mean, the bottom line is, we also got Jurassic Park out of it. We also got quantum computing probably by what we learned in Silicon Graphics.
Right.
So there's some amazing things that we get out of some of this stuff as well. And I guess it's just, where is our focus?
Well, and it's not just where our focus is. It's where's the focus of the people who are running the show? And, you know, to me, it comes down to the compartmentalization of all of these different projects because, you know, one group of scientists working on one particular aspect may not seem to be all that crazy. And maybe they may not look outside of their box because they don't have to, but there's somebody at DARPA who's watching the entire umbrella saying, I can cherry pick that project and this project and put them together. And now whatever it is that we're going to try and do. So I think that we're fighting a lot of compartmentalization, and we're also fighting a pretty significant lack of ethics. These people, I personally think that we should have stopped with technology. You know, that thing that sucks your thing into the bank where you put the thing in the tube and it sucks it up. That's pretty much the culmination. I thought, man, right there, we're good. We could stop right there and I'll be impressed, but we're not going to stop there. We've got this report now coming out of China that they're doing embryonic manipulation now. What is all this about, Nano?
Well, that's interesting. We've got this CRISPR, right? This little CRISPR editing tool that they put out there in 2012. And they worked on this genome project. You're absolutely right. I guess supposedly they used that had been contributed, you know. What I found interesting about it is they were a little bit successful. They still have a lot of work to go because not everything goes the way you would expect it to, right?
Okay.
And what they're saying is sometimes this technique misses its target. And if you insert the DNA in the wrong place in the genome, you're going to end up with something you don't expect.
Oh, sort of like making creatures like from that movie The Fly, huh?
Exactly. Oh. And so that's kind of what happened with this experiment. So I think they said they used 86 non-viable embryos, 71 survived, and very few of them were successful. And what I found interesting also about this article is that global scientists called for a moratorium on this until they could do more ethical research and say, should we really be doing this? What are the implications?
They called for the moratorium after the reports had come out that China was working on
this?
They
had asked for this to be, they had heard that they were working on it, and in March 2015, they said, can we hold off on this?
Oh, okay.
But China's like, no.
Right, of course.
No. And do you think we are? I'm sure we're not. I mean, come on. If this thing's been out there since 2012, you know this is going on everywhere. Come on.
I would think it's been going on since the mid-90s. Anything that comes out, yeah, so to say, you know, that we're so far behind the curve in terms of what they're telling us, Sharon. And I, you know, this is,
yeah,
we're so behind the curve. I mean, really.
Oh, I absolutely agree with you. I absolutely agree with you. So it's very interesting. Some of the comments made was, well, this is interesting and this is important, because supposedly what they wanted to do in this particular thing was change some, there was some blood disease that they wanted to fix. Mm-hmm. That's what they were focused on. But you know, I would agree with you going back to the Versateller thing. The thing that bothers me about this is how much of this could we correct if we were eating properly and we really had the best water and the best food and we weren't getting our bodies all subjected to all this technology, mm-hmm, and being chemtrailed and GMO'd. I mean, how much of all this stuff could our body heal? Why aren't we creating something that helps our body realign itself?
Right. Well, you know, because there's no money in that. I mean, really, no. Nano, the money from healthcare is, you know, to keep you unwell. They want to make you a customer, not somebody who's healthy. And so, I mean, we've talked about just frequency manipulation. One of our favorite guests on the program, Elsie Vincent, talks about how the Rothschild organization changed the natural tone of A from 432 into 440. And now we're all inundated with Nickelback. And I know there's kind of a jump there, but that's essentially what happened. They took over music. They've taken over the air, the water, all of it. You know what I mean? So I fully believe, especially after talking to Robbie Holes last week, that everybody is capable of self-healing, which to me leads me to believe that these people in China are not doing this ostensibly to try and cure any kind of disease. I think that they're trying to create new, you know, types of people that would fit the mold that they want to create for all of us, especially given the fact, I don't know if you saw the new social science or the social score that China is putting out. Did you see anything about that?
No, I didn't.
Oh my gosh, this came out yesterday. They're instigating what they're calling a social, it's basically a social score, which will operate the same way as a credit score, but it doesn't work on your credit. It works on who you are, who your relationships are, things that you've said online. So say you have said bad things on Facebook, it'll give you a social score of like 540, and oops, now you go to apply for a job. Well, you can't get it because your social score is too low. I mean, we're talking about absolute communism dystopia going on right now in China, and they're moving towards that. And that to me is like, that's the control mechanism. That's what they want. They're trying to use technology to make people self-regulate, which is to me always been the goal of psychology.
Now that you explain what that is, they are using that here as well. And they're using it when they're doing HR recruiting now.
Really?
So yes. There's a bunch of companies out there that are, what they're going to do. So the last time I was looking for a job, which was about 4 or 5 months ago, I went to a job fair. And one of the companies there, I apologize, I don't remember offhand, but basically what they do, what they're creating in their software is a brand new startup company. So let's say you and I are looking for a job and I'm the HR person and I talk to you. This software will go to your contacts on Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
And randomly take a look at that. And then also on LinkedIn. And then instead of you giving me 3 people that you want me to call, I go contact 3 of your LinkedIn folks.
Wow.
Now you think about when you're job searching and you're grabbing business cards. I don't know about everybody else, but you know, it's like, oh, will you link in? Sure. Because it's ranked by the number, right?
Right.
The more numbers, the more people give you recommendations. Well, what if they randomly choose 3 and one of them is somebody that never liked you?
That's right. Or somebody that fired you at one point, but you're just keeping contacts with because their clients are your clients now.
And then we have these personality tests. And so before anyone would even talk to me, and I mean, this is just the last 5 months, I get this personality test, you know, would you ever squeal on the people's ceiling? Well, it's like, well, that depends. You know, I mean, how about if I talk to them first? I mean, there's no room for humanness.
Right.
And so we are also going to be at the effect of this. And listening to this guy talk to me, and I said, well, he says, well, we see this as a way to equalize the playing field, that people will not be chosen by how they look or who they are, but on a more fair, quote-unquote, basis on all your online stuff. Now, and think about what people have posted all over the place.
Well, I mean, and it goes to show that you have to understand who is cultivating the information ostensibly at the end of the day, because if you've posted something that they don't agree with, now their majority view is the view that if you're not copping to, you're not going to get the score. And that to me is so scary, because this really is a clandestine way to control information. We've got Google now attempting to what's the big thing that Google's going to be doing right now?
Google X. Which one?
Which one
of their projects?
They're doing a truthiness thing where they can they're rating news organizations and online stories based on the truth quotient, you know, how truthful they are. And who's the one setting the precedent for truth out there? You know, I could talk to Roger Sales. Yeah, exactly. I could talk to Roger Sales all day about the truth between legal and lawful, but you put an article up like that that Google doesn't agree with, and all of a sudden, A, you don't get to see that information because they don't think it's valid, and B, you get a bad social score because you're somebody who agrees with it. And we haven't even talked, Nano, about the Beware system that these police officers are using now, and they do the same thing. They give you a threat level assessment based on things that you've posted on social media. I mean, we're here. It's not something that's going to happen in the future. You're talking about the last 5 months. You're getting personality tested just to get a job. This is crazy. And I think Gentleman Skeptic, who's a friend of ours in the chat room, said it right. We would like our planet back, please. If there's anything we could do to get our planet back at this point, that'd be wonderful.
Oh my God. And you know, I go back to the comment from my buddy at the, you know, I don't want to live in a world they are creating.
Yes.
Certainly if they leave us out of it. And, you know, one of the three words I've seen a lot when companies, start is like innovate, disrupt, and enable. And I think, from a point of view of where we are right now in this paradigm shift, and Catherine Austin Fitz has said we're going from 2.0 to 3.0.
Right.
I love that. Mm-hmm. I love that O. We are in the disruption phase of it, where everything is being disrupted. And I think that's why the powers that be are grabbing everything they can, because it's so confusing and so hard for us to just keep our balance. But where we're going now is enabling. And in this phase, from disrupt to enable, this is where I believe we hijack it back.
Nice.
We bring it home. And I think what our teams are doing together in all these shows is we've got a little piece of the pie, like your wonderful guest yesterday, you know, talking about that fence. I didn't know about that fence thing, the space fence.
I didn't either.
Oh my God, that's freaky. I kind of looked at that and I thought, I can't go down that road, but I mean, but you know, again, like one of my favorite techie things are the robots. I love the robots, not unfortunately the USA ones, but I'm absolutely fascinated by the Japanese ones.
Right.
They've made them friendly and sweet and cute. And maybe we could do something amazing with them.
No, we're not gonna. I gotta tell you, Saudi Arabia, no, Yemen, no, Dubai. Dubai's gonna have fully automated, robot cops monitoring the streets in the next 3 years.
I saw that!
Unbelievable. I mean, seriously, fully, no control, no human interaction, just a fully automated robot. Unbelievable. We've gotta go to this break, Nano. I'm loving this show so much. I hope you guys are enjoying it out there. 3 minute break. Keep it right here. We'll be right back, guys.
Hey, Big Mouth. Yeah, you. Listen, I want you to put the word out on the street. Tell your coworkers, your family, your paisanos, that my good friend, Joe Joseph, is doing a good thing here. He's sticking his neck out for me, for Sil, and for all the people in the world. Isn't that right, Sil?
He's part of the family now, T.
That's what I thought. So tune in to him. Right here on Freedom Link, Monday to Friday, exclusively on the Truth Frequency Radio. Yeah, they're watching you. Big deal. They're watching me, too. They're watching everybody. So grow some cojones and give them something to watch and listen to. Make them earn it. Give them paperwork until they choke. That's right. I know you won't let me down. So you're going to put the word out about my good friend, Joe Joseph, right? Good. Now do me a favor. And get out of here.
after work, I'm so tired that I want to be left alone to sleep.
Hey, listen to me.
Who are you?
I'm you years ago, when you felt healthy and young and everything worked on your body. Do you remember that?
Yes. I wish I felt like that now.
You can feel like that again with a new microplant powder formulation called Iodine Now. It cleans the entire body from head to toe and feeds the body what it really needs. You'll be in a better mood and you'll find more drive in your romantic life.
Really? I gotta try Iodine Now and feel good again.
It also protects you from radiation, heavy metals, fluoride, chlorine, and bromine, including cancer and most major diseases. You'll be amazed. You can be your own doctor. I want to keep you out of the hospital and off pharmaceuticals.
Wow. Why are you so nice to me?
Because I'm you. You're out of shape, and I need a better-looking future.
Call 888-910-4367. That's 888-910-4367. Iodine Now. Only at MUSA.org.
In an emergency situation, would you drink contaminated water? You could if you had the amazing Life Straw from MyPatriotSupply.com. Life Straw is the most advanced personal water filter available today. It filters contaminated water from almost any source. Life Straw is lightweight and compact, perfect for hiking, camping, or in an emergency like a flood. Life Straw is easy to clean, comes with a one-year warranty, and has been used worldwide since 2005. Get the amazing Life Straw personal water filter at MyPatriotSupply.com. Plus, check out Survival Sea Vault, 20 seed varieties for only $37.95, Tattler canning lids, long-term storable foods as low as $69.95, and much more at MyPatriotSupply.com. Enjoy stress-free shipping on all orders over $49. Call 866-229-0927 or visit MyPatriotSupply.com. That's 866-229-0927, MyPatriotSupply.com, for emergency preparedness, self-reliance, and food independence.
Doctrine Ministries with Kenneth Emmanuel.
Sundays on Church Frequency Radio.
Welcome back to the broadcast. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you guys so much for hanging out with us through that 3-minute break. And thank all of you guys who are in the chat room right now and those of you who are tuning in via the live stream. We've got a lot of people listening to the program right now. And I know it's not because of me. It's because we have the one and only Miss Nano Girl on the program today. And we are just having about as much fun as should be legal, or as should be illegal as far as I'm concerned. But before the break, we kind of started talking about this transition that we're all going through right now, Nano, between the disruption phase and the enabling phase, and you really see kind of an opportunity to step in as the last chance of humanity here and try and hijack some of this technology back in our favor. I'm wondering if you've got anything specific in mind.
Well, let's go back just a bit and talk a little bit about what kind of define them a little bit, and okay. then we can kind of take a look at where we are. So, I drew a big globe last night. You know, I was putting notes together for the show, mm-hmm. and I just started looking at our whole world. What exactly are we talking about and what's being affected? Well, of course, everything.
Right.
And I think this is why we have a sense that, oh my God, this is, you know, every day you look around, you look at the technology and think, oh my God, where did that come from? Well, if we look at all these companies, you know, especially like Google and IBM, these guys are branching out and not just doing computer stuff.
Uh-huh.
You know, when I worked there, you know, if you're at a Silicon Graphics company, we were doing maybe some things that would help medical, but we weren't doing any kind of R&D on medical. Not so true on Google. Google
right.
is actually looking for a cure for cancer. They have 100 doctors working in one of their groups in Google X.
Are you serious?
Yeah, 100 doctors and scientists working on a cure for cancer.
Wow.
And they have this little nanobot that they're developing. Well, they have these two arms. I was looking at this thing last night. So they have these two arms, just visualize like mannequins, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they actually used real skin and developed skin so they could see how blood cells go through our arms and our bodies. these little nanobots are supposed to be able to recognize cancer cells, and they light up. And so now they're studying what that looks like so they can find a cure for cancer.
Ugh.
And may I add, from one of our sci-fi shows, Arrow was given a shot of nanobots to get rid of a blood clot by Felicity. So anyway.
Okay.
All right, moving on. But I mean, that kind of, but I always throw that in there because it's on TV. You know, it's happening.
Absolutely, okay. Yeah.
All right. So anyway, if you draw a map of the planet and you name everything that's affecting us, water, food, medical, technology, it is being innovated. It is out the chute, off the tracks. Here we go. And so what we're seeing now is, as I said, this disruption. And visualize if all of us were standing there and it looks like a huge sandstorm and here it comes. And we need to look through that sandstorm and in that sandstorm and say, where are the opportunities?
Mm-hmm.
And a couple of examples. Number one, maybe that light, only I would remove the ticket part. No tickets.
Okay.
I'm so tired of being penalized for
me
being
too.
Human.
Especially like, for victimless crimes. It's just absolutely unacceptable to me.
So there's one sample example right there. Right there, bam. And these bionic arms and these shoes that fit these kids for 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
And thinking outside our country and going into the world, I think that's another opportunity for us. And we're losing our borders here. We're losing our sovereign citizenship here.
That's right.
But maybe the upside of that is we're going to start reaching out to the world, that we're world citizens.
Yes, and I'm fully supporting of that. I don't want anybody to hop on me and say, oh, JD's for global government. I am all for global government if it is built on the principles of liberty. I am so sick of our country pretending that we're a democracy. We're not a democracy. And I'm so sick of this concept of spreading democracy, which is not what we're supposed to be doing. If we're going to export anything, let's export liberty. Let's give sovereignty back to the citizens of the world and fix it from that standpoint. I am totally with you. Again, that's just another one of these things. That's like the global government thing. You can put it on the table. It can be either fantastic or it can be awful, just like the gun on the table. If it's wielded by a righteous person, then it's obviously going to be a good thing. But if it's not, then it's not. And global government is just one of those other facets to me that we're going to move towards it. It's not something that we're going to be able to get away from. But in order to hijack it and make it productive for everybody, we got to have a broader conversation.
We do. All right. Let's take this trade agreement that Obama doesn't want to tell us what's in it. It's not going to be good for us initially. It won't. It won't. Count on it. Count on it.
Count on it.
But what could be good in it? Maybe we were able to go to Mexico and Canada and become better friends with them. They're here anyway.
Right.
Stop fighting it. Start embracing it. I mean, I work with someone that I found out recently that he had actually come over the border with a coyote. He's one of the nicest people I've ever met in my entire life. And I think, could I even imagine what that must be like to pay $2,500 to get out of a place to go get a job? Because I know what it's like not to have a job.
Mm-hmm.
And to go into a new country and learn a language. And you know, I mean, I have so much respect for people who want to make their lives better. Could we look at people differently instead of the way the government wants us to look at them and hate everybody and say, how can we all start to make this a better place? And I still think it's going to take all of us to get them to stop spraying us like we're a bunch of cockroaches.
Agreed.
And stop poisoning us. And we don't want to eat GMO food. We want to eat organic.
Mm-hmm.
So is there a way we can share, like, you know, you did that, is that the hay bale farming thing?
Yeah, straw bale farms. Awesome.
Awesome. Mm-hmm. Awesome. I love to garden. That's fantastic. So, I mean, take anything. Or let's go back to the robotics, which are my favorite. Initially, unfortunately, especially from what I can see of the USA ones, they're terrible. They look all like Terminator to me.
Right.
But the Japanese, not every one of their robots are being created because they are creating them to help them take care of their older people because they know they don't have enough younger people to take care of their aging population.
Mm-hmm.
What if we could bring them over here? I mean, eventually, I'm sure we will. and have them help us. Maybe they could be for good. I don't see anything wrong with the robots. If they're going to kill me, I do. But I mean, and if they're, you know, hello Barbie and they're connected to some AI computer that, you know, records everything I say to hello Barbie, but, right. but maybe there's something kind of fun about it. You know, I mean,
I agree. I'm mostly concerned, you know, with the potential that they're going to get out of control. And I'm also concerned about the fact that they have sold us all of the technology that we have today based on convenience and about how much time we're going to save and how life is going to be so much easier and we're all going to work 10-hour work weeks and blah, blah, blah. I'm afraid personally that because of all of the technology that these global elites actually have, that they really don't have a need for a consumer class anymore. They don't have a reason to continue to put crap in Walmart so that we can buy it, so we can eat GMO foods. All of that stuff to me, if they have, which I do believe they have, this ability to create limitless energy, the ability to do, you know, all these crazy medical, life extension type technologies, they don't need us anymore. So to me, I'm worried that these robots are not going to be put here, you know, in an altruistic manner. They're going to potentially be sold to us in that way. But in the long run, it's just going to be more mechanisms for control.
Well, I mean, I agree. But we were talking about something positive for at least 5 minutes.
Sorry. I'm just so afraid of this planet right now, Nano. It's like I want to try and stay positive and find the silver linings, but I just feel like we are absolutely going to be inundated with this stuff without really any recourse to take it over, in my opinion.
Well, I actually think it's going to go more darker than that. Do you want me to share that, or should I not bring the entire planet down with me on your show?
Well, we've got plenty of time to bring it back up after. We have 17 minutes, so we take it down a notch and then bring it back up.
Okay, so here's where my fear goes, and this is just taking a look at this, and I keep trying to talk myself out of this, but this is where I'm at. We know, and we've proven, that you can't observe something without affecting it, right? Everybody knows that.
Yes.
And I personally think that comes from whatever energy, spiritual connection, I don't care what you call it, it's whatever makes us human, whatever that soul part is, it has that connection to the atom. It has that connection to the planet, and we are creators.
Can I? I just want to interject really quick to put that into a little bit more, a more clear. You know, when you guys went to high school and you were studying the atom, it was the proton, the neutron, and the electrons are zooming around in an orbit around the outside. That's what they told you. Totally inaccurate. That's not at all what's going on. Actually, those electrons pop into and out of existence. So the electron that's in me might pop into this table, might pop into my computer, and then pop back into me. And there's nothing to differentiate between that electron. And if they were actually orbiting, we'd be able to tell the future because we'd know where things were going to be, but we don't. And what's driving those atoms or those electrons in the atoms to pop in and out of existence? Well, it comes down to, and another person in the chat room pointed this out very eloquently, it comes down to intention. We can prove beyond a reasonable shadow of a doubt that in the universe, on a molecular level, there is some sort of intention driving things towards balance. You can call it love. You can call it God. You can call it the spaghetti monster. I don't care what you call it, but it is real. And it has to do with frequency. It has to do with intention. And I just wanted to kind of put that into perspective so people really understood from a scientific standpoint what we're talking about when we talk about, the electron initiative, if you would.
Absolutely. And thank you for adding that. And so, that being said, my biggest concern, to be honest with you, and listening to Kurzweil, who feels like we need to add all of this technology to our bodies, you know, chips, sensors, tattoos, whatever. As we go into that realm, I think if I sat down with George W. Bush, I could probably tolerate talking to W. for about 5 minutes, and I said, you know, what is it you freaks really want? I think that there would be a layer and a level of different, I call them beings, mm-hmm. on the planet. And they would envision that their bloodlines would get to stay human and that they would procreate and they, you know, the queen or whoever is part of their, you know, whatever. Mm-hmm. And they would get to stay human. And then down from there, we would see robots, humanoids. And the bottom line is whatever that is that we just talked about that's connected to you, they would snuff that out of the rest of the people on the planet. We would be gone. And that's my biggest fear, to be honest with you.
I'll take it a step further. I don't believe that they can snuff it out. And what we're talking about, in my particular opinion, again, getting back into the kind of the frequency / spiritual nature, I've done enough interdimensional exploration to understand that my consciousness or my soul, whatever you want to call it, is in fact infinite. It's all represented. Everybody's consciousness, as far as I can tell, is represented by a certain frequency, so to speak. And you have a pineal gland, which acts as like a radio beacon, which is what draws your ability in from the ethereal plane. That's why when you die, in some kind of horrible fashion, your cerebral cleft will be flooded with DMT. You'll see the big white light and you'll basically be out. So that DMT flooding your cerebral cleft is kind of your body's indicator that, okay, this body it's going to go through something and I don't want to be here for it. And your consciousness says, and it jumps out into space or the ether or whatever you want to call it. My fear, Sharon, is that they're going to come up with some sort of frequency trap or the ability to basically keep your frequency from being able to escape back into the ether. Because then you have, that takes the whole level of like lifetime incarceration up to a whole nother scary point. And so that's my biggest fear, is that they find a way to identify specifically each one of our individual frequencies and finds a way to trap them here on this planet.
Oh my God. Amen.
Right?
That and the fact that they, that I can't connect, that they MK Ultra me with enough of their tech toys that I, for some reason I can't connect, that I can't get there, that my connection's broken. I can't imagine being stuck here without that. But what you just said, if I visualize talking, again, we're talking to W, he would say we would have robots, we would have humanoids. These robots and humanoids don't have a soul.
Right.
They'll be all tech. It'll be like the Borg still had some human. But I mean, it would be, these are tech beings. These are beings of tech. And the only humanoids, or if you can call them that, would be these elitist people. And then they're the ones, their intention would be the ones that gets manifested on
That's
the planet.
Right. They'd be the only people left with intention.
Exactly.
Oh,
my God. Exactly. And that's my biggest fear. That and the fact that I get caught up in the little soul box. Didn't they have that in Harry Potter? But, yeah, you get stuck in this. I'm sorry. Anyway. But that's my – so that's – and that's if we're going –
Boy.
That way, because think about the fact that we are so disruptive to them because of all of our individual intentions, that if you could get, if you or W go, you know, your intention beings are annoying. We want you out of here. And
Which
then that,
they obviously
that's what
do.
Going.
I mean, that to me seems exactly where we're at.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, exactly. But I think that, now, I don't subscribe to the fact that we can't blow ourselves up. I think we can and have in the past, and I think that's one of the things they are keeping from us. I do think that this is some kind of hologram of sorts or Imaginarium or, I don't know, Solinarium or something. And it, like you said, I've had so many experiences myself that I cannot explain that it's just absolutely magical. And if they just leave the planet alone, I mean, the magic on the planet alone is amazing. It's amazing.
Mm-hmm.
But they don't view it that way. That's not their, you know, it's not in their quote unquote consciousness.
They don't even want us to know that we have that capability, Nano. I mean, that's really, if you look at what they're doing in terms of frequency, and not just that, but with the entertainment and the education, everything is designed to either keep you distracted or to, you know, really muddy your ability to have real deep cognitive thoughts or real deep cognitive interactions with other people. That whole thing is about stifling intention, in my opinion.
Absolutely. Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And so we must be disrupted on some level.
That's right.
And I heard a number, another on one of my tech talks, recently that they're going to be bringing on, was it 23 more billion people online on cell phones by 2020? All of those people and the rest of the planet, think of the consciousness that's going to be affected as it goes into this huge technological thing. So, again, we are hijacking them. We are hijacking them on some level. How we can be more focused on that is maybe something we're all going to be learning as we march forward. I don't have any specific answers for you, but I totally, that as we start to come together, each of us has a little tiny piece of this puzzle. We start to put the puzzle pieces together, and maybe we can start being and acting and talking and thinking differently. And
I think
that is really where we need to go.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say, get a microphone, get on the air and start telling people the truth, because this is how we do it. Everybody, you know, we get on the program every day and we create ripples and they reach out and people learn things. And that's the most important thing. If you're sitting someplace and you've never thought about the fact that you have the power to manifest your own destiny, or if you don't have the ability to understand that your thoughts themselves are powerful, powerful frequencies, you're lost. And until we can get that information into people's hands and minds so that we can wake them up, we're going to be sunk. And so to me, exactly what Nano is talking about here, we've taken over Skype today. I mean, effectively, we are taking one of the most amazing technological tools that they've ever developed. And I mean, the symbol on the Skype is this planet of Saturn. So we know, you know, what the affiliation is here between the organizers behind Skype, but we're using it against them, and we're doing it in a way that's completely listener powered. And it's, this to me is the next wave of empowerment. And to me, this is one of the easiest ways to take over the technology and make it work for our favor, Nano.
Yes. And let me throw something else out there as well. I totally believe with all my heart that every group of humans that come through the planet, the baby boomers and the next gens and the two, whatever you want to call us, we each come in, each group comes in with something they're supposed to accomplish and a monkey on their back. I believe that there's something we have to grow through, but there's something we need to bring. And because you have to grow through it, you have to bring it. For instance, I feel like the baby boomer people, our parents all went through the Depression and the war, and our moms all went and they kind of did the stay-at-home mom thing when effectively during the war, a lot of them had worked.
Mm-hmm.
And they came back, and they did not process a lot of that emotional stuff that they all went through during the war. They kind of stuffed it, because back in that time, you didn't talk about it.
That's right.
So what did the baby boomer people do? We had to process it. During that process, I think there was a lot of growth. You had the 60s, the 70s, the 80s. You know, you have women's liberation, which a lot of people have a lot of things to say about. But I think if you watch Mad Men, that's exactly what it was like. That's what we were looking for.
I haven't watched that, so could you extrapolate on that?
Well, women were supposed to stay home, be subservient to the husbands, not have an opinion. You had about three career choices: get married, be a teacher, or be a nurse.
Okay.
You know, things like that. And I think that the women's lib movement, what we did was try to push ourselves to kind of equalize ourselves out in the work world and start to take responsibility, because I think everyone's supposed to come here and be everything they can be.
Agreed.
So I think we did some damage maybe, but I think we made some changes. Okay, then the group behind me, they didn't have to fight that fight. They did something different. The women I met during the 40s, you know, the ones behind me, they had more confidence. They didn't have the anger and the angst. They could just sort of push themselves through. And a lot of them chose to go back and take care of the kids. It's like, you know what? I am going to go home. But it was a choice. It's like, I am going to be the mom. I love being the mom. You know, that kind of routine.
Yeah.
And then you got the 30s and the 20s. So the young people, people give them for one of these generations for being indifferent. I think indifferent is perfect. I think to be indifferent to some of the stuff that's going on is like the perfect thing. But they also are giving back and taking the tech and doing amazing things with it, like reaching out to the third world countries, like volunteering, like giving money to some of these things. They're very in touch with all this technology, and they're using it in a way that's just amazing to change the world, not just the USA. So the hope I have is, again, every group comes in, like I said, with something with the right tone and the right attitude and the monkey on the back that they're going to have to grow through, and then that's what they give back to the planet. And that's where I think we grab back, we enable, we say, thanks for the tech toys, bucko, but we're going to take it to you the way we want it to go. And this is where we disrupt.
That's so awesome. That gives me a lot of hope. I have to say, too, we got a listener in the chat room named Gentleman Skeptic today, and I think he just coined this phrase for this generation. He called this people that we're talking about Generation Meh, which I think is pretty good.
It's perfect.
Yeah, it is perfect.
But what – I mean, I personally, I think it's great they have that attitude. I mean, but they don't – they really – but when you get to talk to them, because I've worked with a lot of them, that's not how they really feel. That's what they put out there, but that's not what's going on with them. They are overwhelmed with what's going on with them. School loans, no jobs, living with their mom and dad. I mean, they have a huge monkey on their back, you guys. You know, when you think about that, they don't have the opportunities that I had. Things are so expensive. Are they ever really going to own a house? They can barely own a car. I mean, so I think if we give people love and understand that each of these groups is facing their own huge obstacle and help them bring into the planet what they're supposed to bring. Now, I think that's the gift of the youth, is they came here to do something. Why aren't we helping them? You know, that's my thing.
I mean, that's kind of a great philosophy on life. I've kind of am in the same boat that we're all here to basically become the best versions of us that we can be. And what you're really suggesting is that these people who are young and are completely inundated with technology in ways that, you know, even people who are your age and my age, who are avid computer users, we aren't experiencing the world that they, you know, these people have never lived in a world without computers, you know, which to me is a wild thing to even try and imagine. But these people potentially could be the ones who are going to be developing the tools and the use of this technology to allow people to have that coming to fruition, of the individual kind of thing. And that's, I think, what you're suggesting. And I fully want to support that also. I think that is exactly what we need these days.
I actually think that's what they're going to do. And I love the fact that they do kind of have an attitude, because when you think about the people in Washington, what really makes them mad is for you to just go, meh.
Right. That's a good point. That is a really good defense against this whole divide and conquer method. I hadn't even thought about it
in
that respect.
It's perfect. Think of the beauty of it. It is perfect for the narcissistic creeps that we have to deal with in Washington. Meh.
Meh.
Exactly.
Well, I hope that the attitude is well placed. I also hope that you guys understand that the attitude of meh on a lot of things is not going to cut it these days. We all have to get active. We've got to get on the air. We've got to continue to put these messages out so we can bring people into the fold of being truthful dwellers here in the world that we live in. And we're completely out of time today, Nano. I got to thank you so much for joining us on the program. This has been absolutely outstanding.
And thank you again. It has been fun, a privilege, and big hugs to everybody in the chat. You guys rock.
Absolutely they do. The best listeners in the world, ladies and gentlemen, right here at Truth Frequency. You've been listening to the Red Pill Reports. This was Nano Girl. I want to give you guys a heads up. First of all, Roger Sales' very fine show is coming up next. And also tonight on the KBS show, Tom Keeley is going to be on. They're going to be doing the In-World Report, talking about alternative media versus the mainstream, getting into the Jade Helm and also the New World Order in general. Do not miss Kev Baker's show this afternoon and any of the other shows on Truth Frequency. Please support the host. Please support the network. We are all here for you guys. We are all a leaf on the same tree, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you guys very much for being here today. Take care. We will see you guys.
Truth Frequency Radio is your number one source for news and information. Without the hate, hype, and fear, we are proud to bring you cutting-edge programs like The Kev Baker Show,
The Christopher Everard Show,
The Freedom Link with Joe Joseph,
Truth Frequency with Chris and Shuri Geo,
Red Pill Reports
with J.D. Moore,
X-Squared with Brooks Agnew,
Down the Rabbit Hole with Popeye,
Freaky Friday
with The Woo Crew,
Waking Up the Masses
with Robert Bruce,
Phoenix Rising Radio,
and dozens more.
Did you know you can listen from any
any computer, mobile device, or from any telephone by dialing 832-225-5308.
Or call into your favorite show toll-free at 866-37-TRUE.
Uncensored talk and news you won't hear in the mainstream media.
24 hours a day.
Truth Frequency Radio.
Wherever you are, make it TFR.
Truth Frequency Radio.